comes McDavid charging down the ice. He's got a stick. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty. And Connor McDavid on fire early.
And there it is. And Mike Smith are going to go. And center ice. Talbot and Smith. Who've been on both sides of this Battle of Alberta. This is unbelievable.
This 1 year, 1.5 year here. Getting me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the drive, scores 100 points for Leon.
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So we know we need to be better.
Hey, welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. My, how things change in one day. The Oilers picking up an enormous win on Thursday night, 5-2 over the Vancouver Canucks. We'll get into all that and break it down and look ahead to Saturday. Big game again against the Montreal Canadiens who come to town for 2. On today's episode, I'll be joined by the one and only Eric Holt, better known as Lieutenant Eric from the Nielsen Show on TSN 1260. We'll just take a look back at these two performances by the Edmonton Oilers and look ahead to the upcoming games here. Who stood out? Who's kind of needs to be a little bit better for the Oilers and all that. In the third segment, we'll also get to who's sizzling and who's fizzling. Throw out our question of the day here in a couple of minutes as well. We might get to some audio. We'll wait and see on that. I know Jesse Puljujarvi met with the media along with Tyson Barrie, Slater Cuckoo and Dave Tippett. So maybe some audio from Jesse and Slater Cuckoo have been really good in these two games and, some nice additions right now. So good work by Holland there as these two guys have really stood out, at least for me in the first two games. We might get to some audio there. We'll wait and see on that. Just a timing issue, I guess. Remember, you can connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. And don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. Let's get to the game last night. A big bounce back win for the Oilers as they defeat the Vancouver Canucks by a score of 5-2. The big boys showed up. McDavid leading the way with a hat trick, 2 unreal goals. Leon added 4 assists. Nuge had 2 goals and 1 assist. The big 3 for the Edmonton Oilers combined for 11 points. You knew McDavid was just gonna, he wasn't too happy about that game on Wednesday. I didn't expect a hat trick, to be honest, but man, what a performance. And how about Leon's backhand passes on 2 of those goals? Just, oh, he's got to be the best backhand passer in the league. I think it went a little unnoticed. No one was really talking about it. And Nuge, after a poor performance, gets on the score sheet to kick off his season with 3 points. Special teams were excellent. The Oilers 2-for-4 on the power play. What I say yesterday is Hernan's hot tip, shoot the damn puck. And Tyson Barrie did a lot more of that. So did the Oilers. And you even saw Jesse Puljujarvi there, and we'll get to that in a bit. But 2-for-4, one on an unreal play by McDavid. The other one, just some hard work. But the power play looked dangerous all night. And the PK off to a excellent start this season. 5-for-5 yesterday on the penalty kills. So, things looking good on special teams. Mikko Koskinen, solid. 38 saves. Made some huge saves when it was a one-goal game. And he's going to run with the net here as Mike Smith continues to be unfit to play. Stuart Skinner backing up. Yeah, we'll see if they bring in another backup here as well. There's no timeline. There's no news on Mike Smith outside of that he's unfit to play. Other good performances from last night. Kyler Yamamoto. He's been the best player through 2 games. Set up a hell of a goal there. He's just feisty. The work ethic, everything. He's doing everything well. Slater Cuckoo, I'll say this. He stands out on the PK for me. Even on 5-on-5, he's been good. He moves around well. He moves the puck well. But on the PK, he's an absolute beast. I really like Slater Cuckoo. I don't see him coming out at all. There's no way you're taking this guy out of the lineup the way he's playing. And how about Jesse Puljujarvi? He was excellent last night. He was active. He was getting shots on net. He had an awesome setup from behind the net. And he even got power play time. Yeah, he replaced Chiasson. They were the last 30 seconds on one of those power plays. Looked good on there. there, and he got some nice reviews from his head coach after the game as well. So things looking up for Jesse P. I think once he gets that all-important first goal, it's just going to open up for him. So Jesse Puljujarvi doing good things in his two games. Turris Berry better, but I think they can give a little bit more. Again, new team, so we'll be patient with them. Kyra, excellent on the PK. And it's an interesting point that he doesn't give you much 5-on-5, but on the PK, he's so good. And is that enough to keep him in the lineup in your eyes? It's definitely an interesting situation with JJ. And so we'll see. He's going to be pushed. I know Devin Shore made his debut yesterday. Zanis sat out. He only got just over 7 minutes. Didn't really notice him. But I expect him to get more ice time here as we go forward. He might push Kara for that center spot. But again, with Kara's penalty kill ability, what do you do there, right? What do you do? So it's definitely an interesting question. We'll track this as the season goes. Adam Larson, much better last night. Jones, I hate to be harsh on him because he's still a young guy with not a lot of experience, but he's struggling a bit. He's fighting it, and hopefully he can get through this little rough patch to start the season. And maybe we see Chris Russell in his spot tomorrow against Montreal. But Caleb Jones, young. I don't want to be harsh on him, but he's had his struggles in these first two games. And the top pairing, Baroners, hey, they've been solid through two. You know, no one's going to play perfect game. They have their blunders here and there, but more positive than negative when it comes to the top pairing. As for Vancouver, Thatcher Demko, it was 5-2, but I thought he made some enormous saves at times, especially to start the game. Big save on Cassian a minute in. He was good. The goal by Tyler Mott, though, excellent play by Hamonic and an excellent tip there to get that one by Mikko Koskinen. And what the hell was Quinn Hughes thinking? Definitely the turning point in the game there. They're down one. They're on the power play. Nuge, with a clean check, hits Brock Besser. And Quinn Hughes just loses his marbles and goes after him, cross-checks him, negates their power play. And then at the end of the Oilers' power play, McDavid restores the two-goal lead. So Quinn Hughes, yeah, just a moment of weakness there, definitely. I was a little surprised that it was Quinn Hughes and how much he lost it there, but definitely the turning point there. How about the goal at the end of the first period as well? Thatcher Demko plays that puck, its period's over. And 3 seconds left, McDavid makes it happen, and it's all important, 2-0 lead going into the first intermission. As for today, very well attended optional skate. I was there. I think all the players were on the ice. Koskinen did some early work and then left, so it was just Stuart Skinner practicing with his Edmonton Oilers teammates. Tyler Ennis returned after missing last night's game, as well as Gaetan Hosh and James Neal on the ice with their teammates. Tippett did add that Smith is unfit to play and that Kenny Holland is working on the goalie situation. And I didn't want to get into it right away, but Anton Forsberg was claimed by the Winnipeg Jets today, so that puts kind of a damper on the Edmonton Oilers plans there, because ideally you don't want Stuart Skinner backing up or getting in into any games. This guy still needs to marinate a lot in the AHL. He's holding that spot now. It's like an emergency, but that's why I said Koskinen's going to run with the net here for the near future. And that leads us to the question of the day. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you with Koskinen being the go-to guy here? And who knows, maybe for the next week or two or three, and because he split last time with Mike Smith, and we've seen when Koskinen kind of starts playing too many games, he starts to fizzle out a bit. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you with Koskinen being the go-to guy for the near future? I have it. I got two numbers in my head right now. I'll give you those in the third segment, but let me know on Twitter at HernandoMan and at Locked On Oilers. And just some news from the NHL. Ben Hutton signs with the Anaheim Ducks on a 1-year deal. So that's it. The Oilers, big bounce back game. The big boys showed up. Offensively, they were better. Mikko Koskinen was solid, and the new guys that were quiet on Wednesday played a lot better. And then positive signs from Jesse Puljujärvi and Slater Koekkoek. Back in action on Saturday versus the Montreal Canadiens. Of course, puck drop at 5:00. Montreal looked good in their first game against Toronto. They're probably not feeling too good after giving up a 3-1 lead. They let that game slip away and losing it in overtime. But they did get that point, a 3-point game. And those are going to be huge here in this North Division. Well, in every division. You definitely don't want the other teams going into those 3-point games. So we'll see what the Oilers in Montreal bring us on Saturday. But that one should be fun. It's always fun when Montreal plays Edmonton. Yeah, so let me know who you've liked, who you haven't liked in the first two games. The question of the day, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you with Koskinen being the go-to guy here for the near future for the Edmonton Oilers, with the Mike Smith status as unfit to play, and Dave Tippett saying today that Kenny Holland is trying to bring in another backup. All right, like I said, coming up, our good buddy, everybody loves this guy, he's just a beauty, Lieutenant Eric joins me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, as we'll break down the Oilers' last two games and just talk the NHL in general. It's been fun. It's been a great week so far with hockey back. That's up next here on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. There is only one place that has you covered, one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The NHL season is underway, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore and get in on the action. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, and I'm pleased to welcome in my favorite person in the whole world, and probably your favorite too, Lieutenant Eric from the Hit Morning Show on TSN 1260, The Nielsen Show. Lieutenant Eric, how you doing, my friend?
Hernan, the man. I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I haven't seen you in a while, because now that I'm back on evenings, we never run into each other.
You are getting trash talked. You're getting chirped from the Tecmo boys at the station every single day. You need to show up. They're starting to wonder the future of the league in jeopardy if you can't get some games in here, man.
Well, they got to get me a day gig there then, because
that's what we have to do. Yeah, that's what we have to do.
And I also threw it out there. I'm like, let's set up a weekend. We each bring a sixer. We make an evening out of it. We bring some snacks. Like, so
we can make it work.
I think that's in the work. Eric, I got to ask you before we get going here on the Oilers. Well, this is kind of Oiler related. On your show, there's a new revolution, Valencamoose. I'm probably butchering it right now, and I keep seeing it pop up on our post-game show as well. Can you fill me in on what this is?
I'd be happy to, Hernan. It's Valencamoose. It's Finnish for revolution, and it's a revolution this season, a revolution for, well, one Mikko Koskinen, and you could maybe argue as well for Jesse Puljujärvi's Finnish countrymate. But yes, we kind of we took a play on current events going on in the world, and getting behind Mikko Koskinen for this season, because I mean, we all know what's kind of happened in the past with him and how he kind of came to be an Oiler with, I won't name names or of any past GMs and bad deals that were signed, but we all know the history there. So we're just kind of looking at him much like almost Puljujärvi, but almost a fresh start, a revolution of sorts for one Mikko Koskinen. So night one wasn't the best. Dusty and I identified perhaps a 920 save percentage might be something that we shoot for and we aim for this season. So we've identified 920 and we've taken revolution, but the Finnish translation of that word, Valencamoose, and it's a Valencamoose for Mikko Koskinen. And hopefully this season, and by the looks of it right now, I guess with the status of Mike Smith, we might be seeing a little more Valencamoose in the not so near future.
The revolution is definitely getting stronger, as like you said, Mike Smith still unfit to play. No other news on that. But getting to the first two games, they dropped the first one, a little disappointing. Of course, the defensive woes of the Oilers showed up in that one, and then a complete turnaround yesterday as the big three for the Edmonton Oilers show up. Eric, I mean, they were outstanding. Connor McDavid leading the way. What have you made of this team after two games? Or is it a little too early to get a beat on them, because it was one bad performance and then one good one, right?
Yeah, and really night and day when you think about it too. And I don't know, analyzing and going over this season is going to be different, because it is one like any other. Of course, the compact schedule, the different opponents, the different divisions, the amount of games, the time frame those games are squeezed in. So I don't know how you really analyze the season like this. I guess we'll see when the dust clears at the end of it. But first two games, I don't know. I mean, it's fair. We can expect a little rust given night one, those defensive lapses. And we were getting texts, well, the Canucks didn't look too bad and they didn't have any preseason either. And you can make an argument for everybody, I guess, now. But yeah, night and day from night one was, we all saw defensive lapses and the Canucks took advantage of them. And when we've seen in the past that the top three, top four offensive threats for the Oilers aren't clicking, it's probably going to be a long night, such as it was. Fast forward to last night and almost completely different. You saw right off the hop there the intensity that line had in Vancouver's zone, and that kind of set the stage for the night. McDavid was doing what he does and what seemingly nobody else can, and the rest of the cast chips in. That's not to say, though, that you know, there weren't some lapses as well. I mean, the defense isn't fixed from one night. And I personally like the addition of a guy like Slater Cuckoo on his value. I think that was pretty smart given the financial climate due to the pandemic and everything that Holland got him. But I still think it's a blue line that, you know, yes, at times it can be a little shaky. And although I don't think we're going to see situations such as the swarm defense we saw in game one there. You know, this could happen more often than not this season. It's not necessarily the team's strong point. So hopefully, it's just a matter of this team outscoring their opposition on any night. And what we've seen around the North Division, it looks like you should be taking the over most nights. So if it's a run and gun, shoot 'em out game, I think I would favor the Oilers, hopefully, as long as they, you know, have their shooters performing on any given night.
Listen, they won, and for the fans, celebrate it, enjoy it, but they're far from figuring out their defensive struggles. They still got to continue to work on that. It won't get easier because their opponents this year are all tough, Eric, and I'll throw Ottawa in there as well. Yeah. Ottawa's going to give some teams fits. And I just want to get to the kind of that schedule. It's such a weird year, and you're going to play back-to-backs. So the team that wins the first game is it's almost seems that it's always going to be they're going to have a letdown the second game. And in that second game, the team that lost the first game is going to be more desperate. It's just such a different dynamic.
Well, yeah. And I mean, earning this split, as we're going to say, and we're going to be saying split a lot more this season, earning splits and so forth. I mean, that is huge. And even looking right now and a few 3-point nights here in the North that have been given out. And you don't like that either when you're scoreboard watching. So everybody has been doing their prognostications, and that's fair. I don't know how you shake this div out, but I think it will be close from top to, you know, as you mentioned, Ottawa. I don't see them necessarily as the garbage fire that they've been in past years. You saw what Stutzel did at the World Juniors. They'll be fired up. I mean, they got some good young talent. Are they going to be near the top? Probably not. But I don't know if there's going to be as much separation maybe from top to bottom as a lot of people might say, especially, I mean, from the top six, I guess you could argue. But it's going to be different. And boy, I do like these mini playoffs, though. It is kind of got a neat feel to it. And you do have that desperation. I mean, we're two games in and you already had that must win coming into game two out of game one. So, I mean, you just expect that to continue, I guess, through the remainder of the season.
Joined by Lieutenant Eric from the Nielsen Show on TSN 1260. Eric, one of the guys and your partner that you work with there loves this guy, Jesse Puljujärvi. He's been impressive in the first two games. I thought yesterday he was even better than in the first game. He had a lot of shots on net, even got a look on the power play, which is mind-blowing because before he didn't even come close to a power play look. And what have you thought of Jesse Puljujärvi's return after a year and a half in Finland?
Yeah, it's hanging around with Dusty so much, I guess it rubs off. I'm probably just going to say positive things, so let's get at it. I mean, you mentioned the shots, seven shots, and that's playing, you know, on the line that he was. And the power play, that's a nice tease, that's a nice flirt. I would expect that's going to happen, you know, down the line here. And I think Dusty and I have been stressing with people, though, just a little bit of patience. And I think Dave Tippett as well. I think this whole group, this core from Ken Holland down to the coaching know that. And that's been the mission from day one when they inherited Jesse and the team, is to just, you know, forget about what happened. He had his surgery, he took care of the hip, which was a thing too. Going back to Finland, I think maybe helped him. I think he's got a little bit of sharper grasp of the language, the English language, which, I mean, I can't imagine going to a different country and having to play sports with people, you know, a fast-paced pro league and that. So I think there's a lot of things both on his part and the team's part that people have kind of gotten a little closer on, and it's nice. But again, I think we preach patience and we just wait and see this thing to develop. It's like, you know, you can't watching water boil, you know, you can't just watch it all the time. You got to kind of, you know, back away a bit, let it take its time, and it'll get done. And I think you're seeing it in the first two games, obviously, as you mentioned. I mean, the guy's moving around pretty good. He got some shots off last night, I thought, that were at extremely difficult angles and getting them on. So you see what is there, and it's just a method of awakening it and bringing it out of him. And I think as time goes on, and, you know, you mentioned power play, I mean, I could, especially with, you know, nothing against Alex Chiasson, but it hasn't really looked that effective right now. And you know, whatever, but that's night to night. We're two games in. But sure. I mean, with Jesse, I think it's very positive right now. And I think sky's the limit for the team and for him as far as setting goals and trying to reach them.
There's another interesting player on this Edmonton Oilers team, JJ Kyra. 5-on-5, he doesn't bring you much. He's really inconsistent. But then when you go to the PK, and the PK has been perfect through two games, they were excellent last night, and he's such a big part of that. Like, is it enough for JJ just to be good on the PK to keep him in the lineup? It's because you have Devin Shore. Gaetan Haas was at practice today, and he's going to push as well. Like, is JJ being that good on the PK enough for him to be a regular in the Oilers lineup?
Well, and nothing against JJ, but I did mention Kuk and the money that they got him on. And I think the Shore acquisition as well is another one of those, in my opinion, a nice astute piece of business from Ken Holland. Whether or not it pans out is another thing. But as far as Kara goes, like, I think Tip did mention post game last night when he was quizzed about like whatever the fourth line is or if one even exists. I think he said it's a mess or something right now, yeah, or working something along those lines. And yeah, I mean, but as far as the individual player goes, I mean, it's a tough one. And it, if you can't bring in something better, then why look at, like, I'm just saying, I don't know what we've seen. I didn't see anything really of Shore last night to make an example of.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, maybe he elevates himself and tries to take a run at that role. We know what Gaetan Haas can do, but a bit of a different game, I guess. As far as Kara, though, I mean, keep penalty killing, keep doing the things that you do right. It's tough to comment. It's tough to comment on something like that for a player like that who just has those roles, those key roles, those grinding roles that aren't sexy and aren't, you know, on the highlight reels every night, because you don't really know what the coaches are thinking, what they're thinking at practice, the systems and all that. So they identify him. We identify him as a tough guy, works hard, can muck it up like that, brings a bit of an edge to the game. But if you can find somebody who does that and brings a little extra or a little more, I mean, that's certainly worth looking at. So right now, I mean, if nobody can beat him out, I'm fine with him killing penalties and doing what he's doing and pretty much being on a non-existent fourth line. But however, I mean, if Shore can do something here or get the coach's attention and just bring a few more items to that list that Kara brings, well, why wouldn't you? I mean, I'm not a Jujhar Kara out kind of guy. I'm not a Jujhar Kara in kind of guy either. So I'm fine with what he does in killing penalties and such, but I think it was even, what was it? Yeah. Game one against Vancouver, he was kind of slow trailing back on a goal. You hope for a little more. I don't know if we're ever going to get a little more. Yeah. And I think if you want a little more, you might have to look at, you know, a different player with a different name on the back of the jersey, unfortunately. But at the moment, I don't think he's one that, you know, necessarily hurts, or it's something that it's like identifiable every night that his game is lacking. But certainly, why not? Why can't we hope for a little more in that position?
We're here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas. You can connect with me at Hernan the Man, and I'm joined by TSN 1260's Lieutenant Eric, the producer extraordinaire. Absolutely wonderful work you do. I heard your Connor Mick update today, Eric. Yeah. It is absolutely fantastic.
I can't even get into the arena or travel with the team anymore, and I can still do those things. It's a little tougher, as you know, reporting in a world such as today, but we get it done.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You can find Lieutenant Eric on Twitter at Lieutenant_Eric. I mean, listen, yesterday what we saw from the top three from the Edmonton Oilers, we're going to expect that on the regular. You know, the other teams, they could shut down McDavid maybe for one game like we saw in these first two games, but then he completely goes off and going forward. So you're hoping the Oilers secondary scoring helps out on those nights when maybe these lines don't have it going, Eric. Looking ahead to Montreal on Saturday, Montreal loses in overtime. They look pretty good. They had a 3-1 lead. They let it slip away. What are you expecting on Saturday night from Rogers Place? Montreal, Edmonton always play good games, and Montreal brought in a lot of new players, and a lot of their new and young players look good against Toronto.
Yeah, Anderson impressed, I thought, as well. I only caught the third period of that game. I'm excited to see this, as you mentioned. I mean, you usually get spirited tilts in these games between Edmonton and Montreal. I can't speak too much for the Habs. I'm not too sure. I know they won the offseason in a lot of metrics from a lot of people. We'll see how that pans out. As you mentioned, though, I mean, a lot of good contributions from some of those names and some of the younger talent on that team. But as far as like, and I just want to go back, and you were mentioning secondary scoring, like Kyler Yamamoto has shown up this year. Hey, he's looked, I mean, that, and that's, it's very encouraging, because as we saw in game one, you know, if the top line, and there's still people online that are, well, it's a one line team, it's a two guy team, it's all that. And you're going to, and I think fans will hear that, you know, and because they do have two of the best, you know, arguably maybe in the league in 97 and 29, but it is that secondary scoring. And, you know, Yamamoto and Cahoon had a look game one. You expect him to kind of continue to fit in and try to find his place and build up some sort of chemistry with Draisaitl. And Nuge finally got off the schneid last night there on the top line with a couple goals. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't really speak too much to Montreal. I'm excited to see them. Saturday at 5 and then Monday at 7. So you kind of got not the back-to-back night, but a nice little night in between for the two-game set here in Edmonton. excited to do it. And again, it's just, it'll be funny to see an Eastern team, but then look at it and say, wow, this is like a, it's like a 4-point night here type of thing. It'll be tough to kind of get your mind wrapped around those every single night. Even, you know, looking on the television, seeing two Eastern teams, now you are concerned, because it all matters quite a bit. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the 5 o'clock puck drop, I'll tell you that. And what else I don't like is no more Pacific games this season in those, you know, three nights in a row of 8:30 puck drops. Speaking from a morning person's point of view, man, I'm entirely on board the 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock puck drops.
I'm with you, man. Post-game shows for those 8:30 games, they were tough. But I'm with you. Montreal, Anderson looked good in his debut. Suzuki and Romanoff as young guys really stood out. And then they got such a good goaltending duo there. You're going to get Price and Jake Allen here one night. Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch those games and see how they handle Connor McDavid. Because in the North Division, you got to think Montreal's got one of the best defensive units when it comes to the D-cores in the division.
Well, and you mentioned their goaltending too, man. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, now we wait and see about Mike Smith. And I guess Ken Holland is you know, on the beat right now trying to address that. But, you know, I'm all for the Valen Camus and I'm all for Mikko Koskinen here. But, we got to start looking at that, because you're going to have these games that are either back-to-backs or a night opposed. And going into the season, you thought the Oilers kind of had it set tandem-wise with Smith and Koskinen, although some people maybe aren't big believers in Mike Smith. But you mentioned Carey Price and a Jake Allen duo coming to town. That just adds to their defensive capabilities.
So I'll ask you this. It's a question of the day here on the podcast. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in Mikko Koskinen running with the net here? Because Mike Smith's out. You probably ideally don't want Stuart Skinner starting any of these games here. And we've seen Koskinen struggle when he's playing a lot of games. Where would you kind of put him on the scale here of confidence-wise? Because he's going to play in the next week or so, probably all the games.
Yeah, and I wonder if you mentioned nobody really behind him, how that affects his mentality. Because I mean, playing last, knowing that Mike Smith was there last year, I mean, that might get in your head as a goaltender too, to, you know, subconsciously relax at times, or I don't know. I mean, that plays a part. Now him knowing that he is the guy right now for the time being, I mean, perhaps that, I mean, I said it on the show this morning, hopefully that maybe galvanizes him somehow. I'm not too sure, but to answer your question, I mean, I'm kind of sitting at a 5 or 5-6 or something like that. I mean, the thing is, and that's the whole idea behind this campaign we have around him, is wanting to believe and wanting to, you know, but we got to see more of it. And again, I think, I'm leaning towards a 6, maybe even a 6.5, because I think even opening night, I know the scoreline wasn't in their favor, but I don't think he necessarily played bad. I mean, you know, that's tough to be in when he was getting those types of looks from Vancouver and the defense were allowing that pressure. But I think last night, again, you know, we saw the numbers, again, not making any of those spectacular highlight reel saves.
Yeah.
But I think making a couple key ones in important times and just playing a steady role. And especially with that blue line, ever the more important. So I'm not too sure. Again, I think it's a bit of a wild card right now. We know what he can do, but we also know what he can't do at times. And you just hope that the latter doesn't pop up more than the former. But right now, maybe like a 5. I'll even go as high as a 6.5 right now in my confidence of him, just because of Dustin Nielsen's influence of Finnish hockey player love. I mean, that's really all it is right now. So we're crossing our fingers and hoping and praying that he continues doing what he's doing. And that's kind of what it is.
I can't wait for Charge, to be honest. It was cut short last year because of this damn pandemic, but that was awesome. Lieutenant Eric, I got to ask you, you know, the weekend's upon us. Me and you are big wine guys, and we're big seafood guys. Will you be indulging in any of the seafood this week?
Oh, boy. I made my world-famous homemade meatballs with a homemade sauce downed that with a bottle of Malbec, and it was quite delicious. As far as the seafood goes, I know, dazzling fiance Danny does a great shrimp. Now she gets the uncooked shrimps, no tail. You throw those suckers in the cast iron skillet, right? There's a little bit of butter and garlic and a little lemon in there, and that's kind of that's the meal we've been dining over the holidays with. Highly popular, pretty affordable as well, and doesn't take too long. But as far as, like, I don't know if we're going to be getting too wild and crazy. I know I did have some salmon from the Nate Meat Market, but that's all gone. Nice. I might have to go out to the grocery store and get something. But other than that, as far as the seafood, I think we'll be dining on the land mammals. I do have a few steaks I could take out right now for supper tonight. Right now is a toss-up. It's a toss-up like Mikko Koskinen. I don't know where I'm sitting. I'm either at a 5 or a 6.5 on whether or not I order something in or start throwing out these steaks, but we shall see. To answer your question, though, about the seafood, regrettably, I don't know if there'll be any on the menu this weekend as the fiance is working, and I don't really intend to go out fishing or anything like that. So we might have to. I do miss, though, man, going out for seafood is the best, right? Oh. Like going out for some mussels or going out. Like it's always, to me, it's always a going out thing. It's a fancy dress. Put on a nice shirt and go get some seafood.
And I've told you, like, once we're allowed to hang out and have people over, we're going to have you over, and my mother's seafood cooking is absolutely amazing, and I know you'll love it. So hopefully,
I can't wait.
Yeah, this pandemic, and I'm kind of with you this weekend. I don't think I'll be going the seafood route, but you know what? I might be getting a doner poutine for supper today. I don't feel like cooking it.
Get out of here! Right? Where are you going? Are you is homemade?
No. probably prime time because it's right by my place, and
that's they make your one.
It's a good one. It's and you eat that, and you're good for like a day and a half.
Oh, you should be fine. Yeah, it packs on a nice winter coat for you. I always hate when you bring up your mom's seafood because it just makes me, it reminds me of the fact that I can't be eating it now. So don't remind me. I already know it's written down in my fridge. I have multiple reminders in the phone.
As soon as we're done, as soon as we're done with this pandemic stuff, you're the first invitation, my friend.
It's the first thing I'm doing. It's the first thing I'm doing.
Yeah, for sure. Lieutenant Eric, this has been a fun chat. Always great chatting with you. Hope to see you soon around the station. I might have to drop in and see those jabronis and get some Tecmo in as you told me they were chirping me there. So, but
man, they talk a big game. That you, when you, if you figure out when you're going in, let me know if it's for a weekend game or something, and I'll show up and root for you in your corner.
Will do, buddy. Thank you for taking the time to join me this afternoon. Go take that power nap, and we'll chat soon, my friend.
Anytime, my friend. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy.
Big shout out to my buddy, Lieutenant Eric, for joining me. Great interview, man. This guy is just an absolute beauty. If you've never had the chance to meet him in person and you get the chance, trust me, you will love it. He is an absolute gem. Big thanks to Lieutenant Eric. Podcast is going a little long, but I have to get to Tyson Berry's media avail from today. You saw in yesterday's game, the Connor McDavid on the power play, Caleb Jones was kind of still there, and he kind of said, "Hey, get off," and all that. And some people were chirping on Twitter today, saying that's disrespectful. No, it's not. Caleb Jones not part of the power play. Get off the power play. It's that simple. And if it's Connor McDavid, you just listen. And that was pretty funny. And then the other one was then Draisaitl skating up the wing. He's almost at center, and he throws his backhand pass, and Tyson Berry thought it was going to him, and out of nowhere comes Connor McDavid to score that highlight reel goal. Connor McDavid was laughing about it last night, and Tyson Berry today met with the media, and he brought that up as well. Here's some of Tyson Berry from today as he met with the Edmonton media.
I want to ask you about that pass Leon Draisaitl made on the power play, that backhand flip pass. Pass the Canuck, pass you, and right under McDavid's stick. Just take us through that play and how you saw it from your eyes.
Yeah, I gave it up to Leo, and then I saw Connor was on the left side, I think, so I thought he was going to drop it to me, and I'd zip it over to Davo, but clearly they had other plans, so I didn't even know Connor was behind me. He just came flying, and I'm glad I missed it. I tried to knock it down. I think I was heading back for a breakout when Connor put it in the net, so it was I'm still getting used to playing with these guys.
You just about messed up what is the play of the year at this point, potentially.
Yeah.
By knocking out the
good eye.
There's a conspiracy theory out there that the whole thing is a set play, that it's about misdirection and that it's all a big ruse. Are you guys thinking on that level yet?
I think we might have to put that in the notebook here. I'll just peel back for a breakout and Connor will come flying in. I mean, could be something to it.
There's a level of creativity with those two in particular. Do you just see the potential that's there in you guys all being creative together in these ways?
Yeah, no, they're two incredible talents, and both in their own ways, they kind of do different things, and I mean, both world class. So I went to Leon after. I was like, oh, I thought that was coming to me. He's like, I don't do bad sauce passes. I was like, fair enough. So they're pretty special players, and I think it'll click on that power play, you know, hopefully all season.
Oh, that's great. Tyson Berry there. Some good laughs there for sure. And yeah, you'll get used to playing with Ryan McDavid, and you'll be able to read that. I believe in you, Tyson Berry. I believe in you. All right, let's get to, we got to wrap this up as we're going a little long here. Question of the day once again was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you with Koskinen being the go-to guy here for the next, the near future, I guess, with Mike Smith out? And I'm kind of with Eric. I was going 6 until he shows me different, where he can handle 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 games in a row, and it's going to be like that unless they bring in another goaltender, because I don't see Stuart Skinner getting a start. And Eric made a great point. Like, does he relax now? Is that good or bad for him, knowing that there's no one behind him pushing him? So I'm going to say 6 right now. I hope in 2-3 weeks when we look at this, I'll admit I'm wrong, because I hope to be at an 8-9 by then. But right now, it's got to be a 6. I mean, this guy's shown that he's good in 2-3 game stretches, and he falters. So until he proves otherwise, I got to go with a 6. How about who's sizzling? I know you're going to call me out and call me ridiculous, but I'm going to go after 2 games. Who's sizzling? Leon Draisaitl, leading the Oilers in scoring. 5 points, 4 assists yesterday, quietly. 2 of those were unbelievable backhands. Honorable mention, I can pick McDavid every game, so it's a little unfair, so I'm going to go Leon Draisaitl right now. Who's fizzling? I'm not going to pick him, the young defenseman. I think it's a little unfair right now. He's still finding his groove and all that, so I'm going to go who's fizzling. How about the fourth line? Outside of JJ's penalty kill, you haven't seen much. Chiasson on the power plays missed a lot of opportunities there, but you're not getting a lot. Even when Ennis was there in the first game, Shore only played 7 minutes. I know we're talking about a fourth line here. They're not there to score goals and all that, but you got to bring a little bit of something in the 7 to 9, 10 minutes you play, and they haven't shown much here so far. So who's fizzling? Because there's really no one else. And like I said, I don't want to pick on the young guy. Oilers back in action tomorrow as they take on the Montreal Canadiens at 5 o'clock. I'll be on the post-game show on TSN 1260 immediately following that game. I'll also watch the first 2 periods from Rogers Place, get a nice live look at this game. I want to thank you all for downloading and subscribing. Keep it coming. I appreciate all the downloads. You want to connect with me, hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. It's been a fun week. The NHL is well underway. Oilers back in action tomorrow. You've been listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Stay safe. Wear your mask. We'll chat soon.